Queensland capital set to host the 2032 Olympics. The decision announced last night on the eve of the Tokyo Games. The move has been widely celebrated here in Australia. The Prime Minister Scott Morrison cheering it on from the lodge, and a very pleased Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk in Tokyo for the announcement that Brisbane would be hosting that Olympiad. So, with 11 years to get ready, what will Brisbane need to know, and what can it learn from previous Olympic outings? Bob Carr is the former Premier of New South Wales, and he oversaw the 2000 Olympics in Sydney.
I think it's terrific. It's a win for Australia. I always said about our games when we were hosting them that this was us putting on a great show, the government of New South Wales, for the whole country. It's a win for Australia. It's a vote of confidence in Australia. And Queensland ought to run strongly with it, with that in mind. They're doing something that's going to enhance Australia's international personality.
You were Premier for the 2000 Olympics. What words of advice would you have for whoever the Premier might be come 2032?
Yeah, a raft of advice, but probably overtaken by all that's happened in this space since 2000. Build public support for it. Get your facilities up to the world's best standard. Don't go into debt. You don't have to run into debt. We avoided that. In fact, we paid off debt while we hosted the Games. The running costs of the Games are, of course, going to be met by TV rights and ticket sales and sponsorships. It's the infrastructure that's the challenge, but you can do that, and Queensland's got a lot to boast of already. I think do the Games in the context of good state economic growth, because it's always easier to run these budgets if your state economy is growing in a healthy fashion, and I'm sure that'll be the case.
Cost is always a big one. I know that it ran into the billions for the Sydney Games. Are there concerns there about the cost and the benefit of these games generally?
Well, I think you'd be hard-pressed to spell out an economic benefit. We've got to talk in that language, but fundamentally you're doing these as a national celebration and as a message to the world that Australia can do things up to a very high level of competence. You're hard-pressed to produce any methodology that will show in jobs and investment you won in a way that made the infrastructure spending worthwhile. It doesn't lend itself to that kind of analysis. You're doing this as a great national celebration, and in the context of a growth economy you can pay for the extra infrastructure that'll gradually justify itself over the decades ahead. It's stuff that you would have had to have built anyway, for the most part, in the long run.
You look at the Sydney Games, and I suppose you talk about infrastructure. Obviously, there was the stadia builds, but also the transport infrastructure that went in. Do you think that's one of the positive things that came out of Sydney and potentially something that Brisbane could look at?
Oh, yes. They've got to make a decision about... I guess they've made a decision about the location of the village. Ours became private sector housing, so it paid for itself. One thing I'm proud of, just to shift the ground a bit, is that we negotiated with unions. The facilities were built by a unionised workforce, and I was very proud of the occupational health and safety standard we achieved in all those Olympic constructions. And you can make a shining example of what the Australian system, industrial relations system, infrastructure, private-public partnerships, you make an advertisement for what Australia can do on these fronts.
You talk there about cost, and back in the day, I seem to recall, Bob, that you talked about at the time that it would pay for itself. And, you know, you're now saying that might not necessarily be the case. There wasn't much competition when it came for these games for 2032. Do you think that people have come around to a different view of hosting the Olympics? You know, it does cost quite a bit.
There were some cut-price Olympics before ours. The one in Atlanta was not counted a great success. That was the 96 Games. It was the Americans chose to leave that to the private sector. There was nothing about it that represented a great advertisement for either Atlanta or Georgia, or for that matter, the American South, or the US as a whole. We took a different approach. We'd go for world's best standard and produce publicity that it is very hard for a middle power to get. The justification for all our effort, our blood, sweat and tears, was when some commentators after the game said, hey, why have a competition in future? Just hold them in Australia after the Sydney Olympics. Why would you want to take them anywhere else? So I thought that, to read that, I think a London newspaper, was the ultimate justification for a middle power using the games to promote it, to promote itself for its competency, for our competence. The Sydney Games are a message that after the economic reforms of the previous two decades, Australia had the vision and the flexibility and the quality to do world's best without much strain or drumbeat or argument.
Mm. Just finally, Bob, and while I've got you, I'm sure you've seen overnight that John Coates is in a little bit of hot water from the IOC for telling the Queensland Premier that she would be attending the opening ceremony. She'd said that she wasn't going to because of coronavirus concerns.
You are going to the opening ceremony. I'm still the deputy chair of the Canada Leadership Group. And so far as I understand, that there will be an opening and a closing ceremony in 2032, and all of you have got to get along there and understand the traditional parts of that, what's involved in an opening ceremony. So none of you are staying behind and hiding in your rooms, all right?
What did you make of that? And if that was you in the room, what would you have made of it?
Well, I determine whether I attend or not, but in the spirit of celebratory spirit of the moment, I think it's good that she attends the opening ceremony. To breathe in an opening ceremony is really going to help her when she makes decisions about the very early planning for Brisbane's. So I think despite all the restraints of the times, it's going to be good that she be there. John might have chosen his words more diplomatically, but in the celebratory spirit, as I put it, I think we can live with that.
Bob, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Jamie. Thank you.
Bob Carr, former New South Wales Premier, who oversaw the 2000 Sydney Olympics, and a statement from John Coates. Mr. Coates says, my comments regarding the Premier and the opening ceremony have been completely misrepresented by people who weren't in the room. Absolutely, I believe the Premier should come to the opening ceremony, and she has accepted. I'm thrilled about that. Attending the opening ceremony has always been her choice. My view has always been all three levels of government should come to the opening ceremony. The statement goes on to say, the Premier and I have a long-standing and very successful relationship. We both know the spirit of my remarks, and I have no indication that she was offended in any way. Those in doubt should ask her. That's a statement from John Coates about that interaction with Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, which has been making headlines today.